All right, Pastor, over to you.
Thank you, David. Again, good morning to all. And we have been saying and wishing your mothers happy Mother's Day. But I'm always conscious of the fact that there are lots of mothers who cannot say that today is a happy Mother's Day for them, for one reason or the other. But if you're a mother who is feeling sad this morning, discouraged, I do pray that today will be a happy day for you. Even if it is only today, one day of the year, that this day will be a happy day for you, a special day for you, in spite of what's happening in your life that would cause you to be unhappy and discouraged. May this day be a happy day for you. That's my prayer. That's our prayer. And so this morning, I would like to share with you a story and a song from the book of Judges, Judges chapter 4 and chapter 5. Some of you might be saying, wow, we're going to be here all day today, two chapters. Well, I wouldn't go in every detail. But I want to focus on Deborah, who calls herself in the song in chapter 5, a mother in Israel. A mother in Israel. That's how she describes herself, which means that for her, this was most important of all the other things that were said of her. So let's look first of all at the story in Judges chapter 4. And of course, every story has a plot, right? And every story has basically a problem that must be solved. And in chapter 4 of Judges, there is a problem. There's a problem with the people of Israel. And this is not the first time that they have been in trouble. This is not the first time that they find themselves in this problematic situation. In fact, when you read the book of Judges, you would notice that there is a cycle. There's a cycle. Israel sins against God. God causes them to go into bondage. When they are in bondage, they cry out to God. Then God raises up a deliverer, who is a judge. The judge delivers them from bondage. They have rest for a number of years. Then they go back into committing idolatry again, and it goes on and on and on. So here they find themselves in this cycle of being in bondage, because they have sinned against God. And the Bible says that they were for 20 years, for 20 years they were severely oppressed by a king named Jabin. He was the king of one of the places in Canaan. He's called the king of Canaan in Judges chapter 4 and verse 2. So this king of Canaan, Jabin, many years ago, he conquered Israel. And he lived close to the place called Galilee in northern Israel. The leader of his army was the name Sisera. Judges chapter 4 and verse 3, we read, the sons of Israel cried to the Lord. Now in verse 2 it says, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor, and the commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. That's a place up in the north of Israel, close to Galilee. So his army was there in Israel. And Israel was severely oppressed for 20 years. 20 years. And they were helpless. They were hopeless in the presence of this great army. But again, God raised up a deliverer, but this time in the form of a woman. Her name is Deborah. And the name Deborah really means a bee. We don't know why the name means a bee, but we know that bees are very busy insects. They're very busy. And maybe that's the reason why she's called Deborah, because notice in verse 4 of chapter 4, she was a prophetess, she was a wife, she was a judge. So she wore many hats. And, you know, I was thinking of this and I was saying to myself, you know, pre-COVID, before the pandemic, there were lots of people who were very busy running here and there, running everywhere. But I'm wondering if we can say that of anyone today, that they are very busy. It seems as if we have all settled down. We are not so busy these days. But Deborah was a prophetess. She was a wife. She was a judge. And the Bible said that she sat under a tree that was named after her, a palm tree that was named after her. And this palm tree was located in a place called, one of the provinces called Ephraim. Now, Ephraim was in the south, maybe central Palestine. And the army of the king of Canaan was up in the north. So Deborah would sit under the palm tree and the people of Israel would come to her whenever they have problems, whenever they have questions, whenever they want to hear from the Lord, they would come to her. And she would give them answers. She would teach them the law of the Lord. That was what the judge actually did, to teach the people of Israel the law. And the Bible said in the book of Judges that in those days there were no king in Israel, and everyone did according to his what was right in his own sight. And so God raised up these judges to teach the people the way of the Lord. So Deborah was sitting there in her place between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the sons, the children of Israel, came to her. So Deborah, because she was a judge, because she had authority from God, she decided to call upon a military leader to build an army to fight against the king of Canaan. So she sent and called for a leader, militant leader by the name of Barak, who lived way up in the north. Judges chapter 4 and verse 6. He was from the tribe of Naphtali. And so Deborah commanded him, or she summoned him, because the Lord told her to tell him to gather an army of 10,000 men. Judges chapter 4 and verse 6. An army of 10,000 men from the sons of Naphtali and from the sons of Zebulun. So Barak was to form an army to go up against the king of Canaan. So she delivered this message to him, and she gave him the assurance that God will give him victory. See that in verse 7? The Lord said, "And I will draw out to you Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, and with the chariots and his many troops to the river of Kishon, and I will give him into your hand." So Barak had assurance that he will win the battle even before he went there. But he didn't immediately agree to go. In fact, he tried to make a compromise with Deborah. And so he made one condition. He said to her, okay, if you go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, then I will not go. Now, there are some who say that Barak was a weak leader. There are others who say that back in the day, people like Deborah and important people used to be taken into the battle just to kind of encourage the soldiers to fight. So I'm not too sure if Barak was a weak soldier or if he is really telling Deborah to come because her presence would be an encouragement to the other soldiers. Nevertheless, because he said to her that he will not go if she does not go, Deborah said to him that he will lose out. The honor will not be to him. He will not be the one to defeat. He will not be the one to receive the honor. In verse 9 of chapter 4, Deborah says, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the honor will not be yours on the journey that you are about to take. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hands of a woman. Now, I'm sure Barak, and if you have never read the story before, you would conclude that this woman would definitely be Deborah, that she would be the one who would get the honor. But we have to come to the end of the story because there is a twist. And so Barak, after Deborah agreed to go with him, went to Naphtali and Zebulun, and he collected 10,000 men, Judges chapter 4 and verse 10. 10,000 men, and Deborah went up with him. Now, whenever we're reading a story, we should always look for little surprises and little unexpected statements. And so here is one in verse 11. You may think that this is, why does the author include this verse 11 here? It says, now Heber the Kenite had separated himself from the Kenites, from the sons of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, and had pitched his tent as far away as the oak of Zamanaim, which is near Kadesh. What in the world this has to do with the story? It seems as if it's just placed there out of the blues. But no, it's important. We'll see that in the providence of God, this was an important move made by the Kenites. They actually were Israelites who separated themselves and went to live up in the north. And we will see how this is significant. So, after Barak gathered his army, Sisera was told that Barak is coming up against them. He's coming to fight against them. And of course, Barak has 10,000 men, but remember, Sisera has, you recall, chariots, iron chariots. So Barak and Deborah and the army of Israel, they are no match to the Canaanites. They have no weapons to fight against them. But nevertheless, these are God's people. And Sisera gathered his army in Judges chapter 4 and verse 13. He called together all his chariots, 900 iron chariots, and all the people who were with him from Harosheth Hagoyim to the river Kishon. So they are in battle array. They are ready to fight. They're ready to destroy the people of God, the people of Israel. And Deborah, the mother in Israel, she said to Barak, arise, for this is the day in which the Lord hath given Sisera into your hands. So Deborah encouraged Barak to go into the battle in spite of the prowess of the Canaanites. In spite of the military prowess of the Canaanites, Deborah says that today the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. And that's the problem they had to deal with, to get rid of this, to get rid of this man. And Deborah told him that the Lord has gone out before you. And so Barak went down from Mount Tabor and with 10,000 men following him. He went up against the mighty army of the Canaanite. And notice in verse 15, it says, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army. Right, the Lord brought confusion. Now, we don't know exactly what happened here, but we get a clue in Judges chapter 5, where it says that the stars fought against the Canaanites. And we'll come to this later on. But it seems as if the Lord gave them a miraculous victory over the Canaanites. But however, the most important person in the army was not killed. Sisera, he got it from his chariot and he started to run on his foot. He ran away on foot. He fled on foot. He was seeking to escape. And while he was running away from the battlefield, Barak pursued after him. Sorry, Barak pursued the chariot. As far as, notice Harosheth Hagoyim, that's where, that's the base of the Canaanite army. And so Barak went in this direction. And all the army of Sisera fell by the sword. But Sisera kept on running, he kept on fleeing, and he fled. And while he was fleeing, he came to this house. And in that house, there was a woman by the name of Jael. See that in verse 17, chapter 4? Sisera fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite. And that's where I want to take you back to verse 11 of chapter 4. See that? Heber the Kenite had separated himself from the Kenites. Right? The Kenites were Israelites, but for some reason, maybe there were some problems. So he fled and he went up north. He separated himself. He went up to the north of Israel, built his own family there, and he married this woman called Jael. See that? And it says in the scriptures, verse 17, Judges chapter 4, there was peace between Jabin, that is the king of the Canaanites, and the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Canaanites. So Sisera felt comfortable going into this house because there was peace. And so when he went there, Jael was standing at the door. Verse 18. She went out to meet him, and she uses a bit of persuasion to get him into the house to kill him. She tricked him. Tricked him. So notice what she said to him. Turn aside, my master, turn aside to me. Do not be afraid. And he turned aside to her into the tent, and she covered him with a rug. So he was feeling comfortable in the tent. And then he said to her, I am thirsty. I'm thirsty. Give me some water. But she didn't give him water. She gave him milk, which is very common in that part of the world. And some say that the milk would put him to sleep. And so she gave him milk instead of water. And she covered him. And he said to her, just stand in the doorway. Stand in the doorway. And if anyone says to you, where is there anyone here? You shall say no. But she had a plan. And so Jael verse 21, she took a tent peg. Now, there's some irony here. She took a tent peg, seized the hammer in her hand, and went secretly to him and drove the peg into his temple. It went through into the ground, for he was sound asleep and exhausted, and he died. Think about it. The leader of an army of 9,000 iron chariots was killed by a little tent peg. God can use insignificant things to accomplish victory. Now, let me say at this point that this act that Jael committed here is murder. And Deborah does not condone it. God does not condone it. It is an evil act. But for some reason, God used it to bring victory to his people. But it's murder. It is evil. And then after all of this, after he died, Barak arrived very late to the party. And so in verse 22, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said to him, "Come and I will show you the man whom you are seeking." And he entered with her, and behold, Sisera was lying dead with a tent peg in the temple. He was already dead. It was too late for Barak. And God subdued on that day the king of Jabin before the sons of Israel. And the hand of the sons of Israel pressed heavier and heavier upon Jabin, the king of Canaan, and they destroyed Jabin, the king of Canaan. So Israel had peace for a number of years. So after this victory by Barak and Deborah and Jael, just like in the book of Exodus, after Moses and the people of Israel came through the Red Sea victoriously, and they stood on the banks of the Red Sea on the other side in Exodus chapter 15, and they sang the song of praise. In the same way, Deborah and Barak are now singing this song of victory. You find this all the way through the scriptures, all through the scriptures. Whenever God answers the prayers of his people, whenever God gives his people victory, there is always a song that they sing, a song of victory. You find it very often in the book of Samuel. When Samuel was born, his mother sang a hymn of praise. Very common. Mary sang a song of praise when God promised her a child. And so in Judges chapter 5, we have the song of praise, which is inspired by the story in chapter 4. So let's just go through the song very quickly. Notice it begins with Deborah praising the leaders and the people who volunteered. Verses 1 and 2, Deborah and Barak, the son of Ahinoam, sang on that day, saying that the leaders led in Israel, that the people volunteered, bless the Lord. What a beautiful picture here. The leaders led and the people volunteered. That is the recipe for success in any organization, in any country, in any nation. We need that today. We need leaders who can lead in the political world. And we need people who can volunteer willingly. We need that in the church. And thank God we do that, have this at Scarborough Baptist Church. We have leaders who lead. And we have people who volunteer. And we bless the Lord for such a blessing. To have leaders, not just leaders who can lead, or who are able to lead, not just leaders who have ability to lead, but Deborah is saying, no, the leaders actually led, and the people volunteered. And for her, that's a reason to praise the Lord. In fact, that's what this song is about. It's a canticle of praise to the Lord. Now, let me just stop here this moment and say, my friends, that each of us has a story. And if each of us has a story, then it means that each of us has a song that we can sing. Whether it's a sad song or a happy song, but each of us can sing a song. We all have a song because we all have a story. So Deborah begins by praising the leaders who led and the people who volunteered. And then in verses 3, 4, and 5, she remembers, or she recalls, how God delivered his people in the past, even through the wilderness, from the moment they came out of the wilderness all the way to Mount Sinai, where God made a covenant with them. See that? Verse 3, 4, and 5. Hear, O kings, give ear, O rulers. I to the Lord, I will sing. See how many times he's using, I will sing. Praise to the Lord, the God of Israel. Lord, when you did go out of Mount Seir, that's when they were beginning the journey in the wilderness. When you marched from the field of Edom, the earth quaked, the heavens also dripped, even the clouds dripped water. The mountains quaked at the presence of the Lord. This Sinai at the presence of the Lord, the God of Israel. You remember when Moses went up to Mount Sinai to receive the law, the mountains quake. Exodus chapter 19, that's what he's referring to here. And God gave Moses the law. And Deborah is saying there that at the presence of God, all things must flee. By the presence of God, his power is manifested. And Deborah is looking back on what God accomplished for his people in the wilderness. And then in verses 6 and following, Deborah describes the conditions of her time when she was a mother in Israel, when she was a leader, when she motivated the people. Notice the conditions, very similar to the conditions of our day, our present time. It was a time in which there was no freedom. Freedom was taken away. Notice it says, in the days of Shamgar, Judges chapter 5 and verse 6, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, he is one of the judges. Not much is said about him. Only one verse is mentioned about Shamgar, chapter 3 and verse 31. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, notice the highways were deserted. Isn't that true in our day right now? You look at the streets, they're all deserted. You know, occasionally I take the car and I drive down to the city to see what downtown is like. In fact, yesterday I went down there again and I drove to the city. I drove along Young Street, and it was such a sad state. Not because it was deserted, not because there were not much people there. In fact, there were not many people there. But what was very sad to me was the number of homeless people that I saw lying on the side of the streets of Toronto. Not only lying on the sides of the street, but those who were walking aimlessly and hopelessly. I'm sure many of them have nowhere to sleep, no food to eat. And it broke my heart. In fact, as I drove along Young Street, I saw something that even was more tragic. I saw three men on the stairs of Ryerson University. One of them was lying on the ground. I don't know what his condition was, but the other two were standing over him. And one of them had a phone in his hand, seemed as if he was calling 911. Because that man who was lying on the ground there seemed as if he was very sick. So I decided to drive around the block to see what's going to happen. And by the time I came back to the same spot, the ambulance was there, taking him into and to the hospital. They were all wearing the masks, the health workers. And I said to myself, thank God for these frontline workers who are putting their lives at risk during this very dangerous time. But the streets of the city were desolate, deserted, not many people. Deborah says, the highways were deserted. Travelers went by roundabout ways. Peasants desist in Israel. There were no happiness. There were no partying. There were no dancing in the streets. People were sad, living in fear and discouraged. And Deborah says, all this was happening until she arose as a mother in Israel. She arose, she says, until I arose a mother in Israel. You see, in the beginning of this, in chapter 4, we read that Deborah was a wife. She was a judge. But she didn't say that she arose a judge or a wife, even though these things are okay. But she says, I arose as a mother in Israel. And as a mother, she was a wise woman. She was able to teach the people of Israel the ways of God. I know how we need mothers who can rise up today in this present situation. Teach the children the ways of God. We pray for mothers who are at home at this time. The children are not able to go to school, but they are at home. We pray that God will help mothers to teach their children the ways of God, that mothers will rise up in Toronto, in Mississauga, in Ottawa, in every part of this country, in every part of this world. May mothers rise up in this world. You see, there was not only desolation, but Israel had a bigger problem. There was idolatry. See verse 8, new gods were chosen. Then war was in the gates. Not a shield or a spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. Israel was in a state of desperation. They were at the mercy of the enemies. There were no weapons to fight. Just like we are today, we have no weapon against this, if I may say, the invisible enemy, the coronavirus. But there is idolatry in the land. Even today, people are not turning to him, the God of creation, but they're worshiping other gods. Very sad. But Deborah says, my heart goes out to the commanders of Israel, the volunteers. You see, she ends this section with how she began. The volunteers among the people bless the Lord. Thank God for those who volunteer. And then she calls upon the wealthy, those who are enjoying the victory, to bless the Lord, to sing. Notice in verse 10, you who ride on white donkeys, you who sit on rich carpets, you who travel on the road, sing at the sound of those who divide the flocks among the watering places. There shall become the righteous deeds of the Lord, the righteous deeds for his peasantry in Israel. The people of the Lord went down to the gates. Deborah is saying, let us sing the song of victory for what God has done. And then coming to the end of the song, not everyone supported Deborah and Barak. You see, there were some tribes who did not volunteer. And so she has the names here. Notice in verse 12, it says, awake, awake, Deborah, awake, sing a song. Arise, Barak, and take away your captives, the son of Ahinoam. Then survivors came down to the nobles. The people of the Lord came down to me as warriors. Notice from Ephraim, those whose root is in Amalek, Benjamin, Mashir, which is Manasseh, Zebulun, verse 15, Issachar. You see, all of these tribes here, Deborah is praising them because they helped her. They helped Barak against the enemy. But there were those who did not. So notice in verse 16, Why did you sit among the sheepfolds to hear the piping for the flocks? Among the divisions of Reuben, there was great searchings of heart. Gilead remained across the Jordan. And why did Dan stay in ships? Asher sat at the seashore and remained by its landings. Zebulun was a people who despised their lives, even to death. Naphtali also on the high places of the field. So the names that are listed in verses 15, 16, and 17, they did not operate with Deborah and Barak. And it is true, not everyone will cooperate in the battle, in the Lord's work. There are some who will and there are others who would not. But thank God for those who willingly and voluntarily give time and efforts and talents to the work of God. And then Deborah says that this victory was obtained by a miraculous work of the Lord. Notice in verse 20, Judges chapter 5, the stars fought from heaven. From their courses, they fought against Sisera. We don't know the details, but it seems as if the Lord gave them a miraculous victory. Verse 21, the torrent of Kishon swept them away. The ancient torrent, the torrent of Kishon, it seems as if the river of Kishon overswollen its boundaries and it swept away the army of Sisera. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe there was a lot of rain that fell and the river overflowed its banks and the army of Sisera, they were washed away. And there was a miraculous victory for the people of God. Amen. And then he says, and Deborah says in her song, verse 24, most blessed of women is Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Most blessed is she of women in the tent. He asked for water, and she gave him milk. In a magnificent bowl, she brought him curds. She reached out to her hand for the tent peg and her right hand for the workman's hammer. Then she struck Sisera. She smashed his head and she shattered and pierced his temple. Between her feet, he bowed, he fell, he lay. Between her feet, he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, there he lay dead. She defeated him. Again, God does not command murder, but that's what he used to destroy the enemy. And then sadly, whenever a son dies, in this case, Sisera, there is always a mother who weeps. And so notice Sisera's mother waiting patiently for him to return. Verse 28, out of the window, she looked and lamented. The mother of Sisera, through the lattice, that's a window, why does his chariot delay in coming? Why do the hoofbeats of the chariots tarry? Her wise princess would answer her. Indeed, she repeats her words to herself. Are they not finding? Are they not dividing the spoil? A maiden, two maidens for every warrior. To Sisera, a spoil of dyed work, a spoil of dyed work. This woman is grieving because her son, Sisera, has not returned. And I think of many mothers today who are grieving because they have lost a child. He or she has not returned. They have gone away. They have died in battle. They have been killed. There are many thousands of mothers today who are grieving the death of their son, whether for good reason or not. But then the song ends with a lesson. And this is a lesson that we ought to learn from the song. Let all God's enemies perish, but let those who love him be like the rising of the sun in its might. And so in our world today, there are two people, those who love the Lord and those who do not love him. But all those who do not love him will perish. But all those who love him will continue to rise as the sun. But let me end with a word of encouragement. To everyone here this morning, you may not have a song to sing this morning of victory. You may not think that you have a song of victory to sing because of the many problems in your life. But may I encourage you that if you have a story, and each of us has a story, then you have a song. And the greatest song that we can sing is a song of victory that Jesus Christ has delivered us from the power of death. So if you're a child of God, you have a song. In spite of your condition, in spite of the situation, there is a song of the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ for each of us who have put our trust in him. We have a song that we can sing. And so we thank God. You know, as I follow the news with the pandemic, and I'm sure you can see that too, there are people who are singing. They're singing from the balconies, they're singing in the streets, they're singing everywhere. And you ask yourself, why are people singing like that? Well, because there is something about singing. It brings a sense of peace and it warms your heart. And if the people in the world can sing songs which do not pertain to our Lord, our great God, and it blesses them, how much more God's people when we sing the songs of Zion? So may I encourage you, one of the ways that you can make it through and be helped through this time of discouragement and isolation is to keep on singing. And some of you may say, well, I cannot sing. Of course you could. Of course you could. You don't have to sing to the angels. You don't have to sing like angels. You can croak like frogs. But as long as you're singing from your heart and you're singing the victory that God has given to you, that's okay. But as long as you have a story, you do have a song. And I pray that God will give you a song today. And we thank God for Deborah, the mother in Israel, who taught us this wonderful song of victory. Song praising those who lead and volunteers, who volunteer for the glory of God. So may the Lord bless you. I pray that even in the present moment, you will find some time to volunteer. But I also pray that at the end of this pandemic, when everything is over and we're able to go to church and fellowship, that you will find some way to volunteer at Scarborough Baptist Church or any other church to do something for the Lord, to do something willingly. And when you volunteer for the Lord will honor you and bless you. So may you have a happy Mother's Day again, all your mothers, and God bless you and keep you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your presence with us. We thank you for your presence that has always been with your people. All through the years, you have been there to help and to protect and to guide. Thank you that your presence is with us. Even in our times of isolation, you are with us. So I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to look towards you, to sing your praises, to worship you, and to glorify you. Thank you so much for each one who is present here this morning. May your hand rest upon them. May you lift them up and bless them and encourage them. Thank you for the songs that were sang this morning. Thank you for the wonderful message by Elmer, a word of encouragement. Again, thank you for all those who are present here. Thank you again for David and Jackie who directs this ministry. And thank you for those who met this morning at 9 o'clock for prayer. Thank you for everyone here today. And if I fail to ask for anything, we pray that you will grant it unto us for your glory and for your honor and for your praise, for Christ's sake. Amen and amen. God bless you.
Benediction.
And now let's receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace, now and forevermore. And all God's people say, amen and amen. Have a wonderful day. God bless you and keep you.